from WNYC in New York. This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. This hour, pretty much by accident, turns out to be about speech. It's not comprehensive, it's more or less anecdotal. And it starts with the conclusion of our first crowdsourcing project called Blow the Whistle. If you're a regular listener, you may have heard us talk about this before. On December 22nd, in the face of seemingly unanimous bipartisan support in both houses, the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act was killed in the final moments of the last legislative session when a mystery senator placed what is called a secret hold on the bill. Since January 7th, On the Media and the Government Accountability Project have been asking you, our listeners, to call your senators and ask them, on the record, if they had placed the secret hold. We have since received hundreds of your emails helping us narrow the field of potential senators to just three, all of whom have repeatedly refused to comment. We care about this for two reasons. First, because the media's ability to report on the government is contingent on governmental transparency and accountability, which the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act would foster. And second, because the irony of killing a pro-transparency bill with one of the Senate's most opaque, anti-democratic devices was just too much for us to take. Tom Devine, legal director of the Government Accountability Project, has been our partner since our project started, and he will now help us end it. But first, we asked him for a quick refresher. Just how does the secret hold work?
A secret hold allows a senator, doesn't exist in the House of Representatives, to paralyze any legislative action without actually voting against legislation or revealing his or her identity. It can be just because they want to do something constructive, like find enough time to read the bill before they vote on it. But in other cases, it's a way to sabotage legislation that's too popular to do it openly.
On January 27th, the Senate voted overwhelmingly to pass a resolution to reform the secret hold process. But the mainstream media have suggested that this means the secret hold is dead and it's very much alive, right?
The ban doesn't kick in until 48 hours have passed. So in scenarios like the whistleblower protection law, where the politicians put something off until the very last second, they can still kill the legislation without formally opposing it or even identifying themselves. It's kind of like being saved by the bell.
Why would a senator that had ostensibly passed the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act the first time it was in the Senate place a hold on it the second time around? It was only a very small change, and one that apparently would be more agreeable to Republicans, and the Republican cloakroom told you that it was a Republican that had put a secret hold on the bill. So why?
They did it because they were requested by House leadership, which didn't have the political backbone to come out and oppose this taxpayer reform.
How do you know, Tom, that the Senate hold was placed on the bill at the request of House leadership?
So many congressional offices told us that was the facts of life behind the public posturing.
Congressional staffers told you this was the case, and it was repeated several times to you.
It's been repeated so many times that it's almost conventional wisdom.
What the Government Accountability Project does is try to represent the interests of whistleblowers who have suffered retaliation from the government agency for which they've worked. Give me an example of one of your clients.
Probably the best poster child in recent experience is a gentleman named Jesse Polansky. Jesse was a senior clinician at HHS for the Medicare program. He was protesting that in response to President Obama's mandate that we cut the error rate by 50% over the next 2 years for improper Medicare payments, that HHS had responded by eliminating all the rules that we would catch those improper payments for. And this could mask $20 billion in wasted government spending. He was protesting how patients are being held liable for denials of reimbursements due to the administrative errors of insurance companies and hospitals. And HHS is firing him for being disloyal to the agency mission.
What would have happened if there had been an effective Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act?
Dr. Polanski could take the dispute about whose mission he's serving to a jury trial in district court and let the citizens of our country decide if he was betraying his duties to our country.
Okay. As I mentioned in the intro, there are just three senators who have refused to comment. That's James Risch of Idaho, John Kyle of Arizona, and Jeff Sessions of Alabama. You've pretty much eliminated Risch, right?
His staff has said they didn't have any objections to the provisions of the legislation last year. They don't this year unless it changes. And they hadn't worked with the Senate leadership on it. So they're just really not a fair suspect.
And that leaves Kyle of Arizona and Sessions of Alabama. Sessions has placed a secret hold on whistleblower protection legislation in the past, right?
That's correct, and so is Senator Kyle. They've almost been a tag team blocking Senate votes on this reform.
Mm-hmm. Kyle has basically said that the Senate didn't have time to review the House changes and reconcile the differences between the two bills. Is that a fair statement?
It's a little bit disingenuous. Every word in the legislation that came back from the House had previously been approved by unanimous consent in the Senate. There are just a few items missing, and no Senate office has said, we blocked this reform because it wasn't strong enough.
It was actually a weaker bill when it went back to the Senate.
Unfortunately, from our perspective, that was the case.
Tom, are you pushing for the reintroduction of a Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act in this legislative session?
With all our hearts and all our energy. And it should be introduced in the Senate very shortly, verbatim the same as passed last year before the secret hold. We've also been briefing the new leadership of the House committee that handles this under Chairman Darrell Issa on the provisions, and they've been very conscientious, tough students who seem to be getting it, and we're optimistic.
So at the end of the day, we've got these three remaining senators, probably just two, neither of whom will admit responsibility. It might feel like a bit of an anticlimax to some of our listeners. What did we accomplish?
You folks couldn't have done more as super good citizens. And it's because there's a spotlight on this that they'll be under a political imperative to do what they say they stand for. What we have been reassured is that a secret hold won't happen again on the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, even by offices that won't tell us what happened last Congress. And I don't think that could have occurred if there weren't programs such as On the Media and the other journalists who have been on the job when the politicians weren't.
Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tom Devine is legal director of the Government Accountability Project. Susan Schibler was one of hundreds of listeners that helped us with the Blow the Whistle project. It was thanks largely to Schibler's several weeks of steady contact with the office of Ohio Democrat Sherrod Brown that we managed to get his staff to confirm he wasn't responsible. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi, happy to be here.
So tell me why this project was important to you.
I have been a longtime supporter of whistleblowers. A very close friend of mine was fired for being a whistleblower. And I've been a supporter of the Government Accountability Project since the early 1990s.
And you also worked at one time as a Senate aide to Ohio Senator John Glenn. Did that figure into your interest in this business?
I don't know if it was an interest into the business, but it certainly gave me some insight into what's going on in a Senate office when I'm trying to contact them about my issue. I realize that they're getting a lot of calls from a lot of people, and I think that probably encouraged me to just keep going, that there's going to be a way to get the response that I need.
So let's talk about your process. You started with a couple of emails, got boilerplate responses. So then you called the senator's Washington office and were repelled over and over again by essentially the receptionist. So then you had the brilliant idea to call his Ohio office.
Right. I decided to try and call the Ohio headquarters office in Cleveland. and was able to immediately talk to a staff assistant and have kind of a back and forth conversation as to why it's not acceptable for Sherrod Brown not to respond to the question of the secret hold. In doing that, I pointed out about the results being posted on the Blow the Whistle website, and I think by also emailing him that link to show that I think at that time there was maybe 49 senators who had already given us a response, and I could say that there's 49 offices that have not had a problem responding to this question, and it doesn't look good for Sherrod Brown not to answer the question. It got the staff assistant to realize it's not just me calling or a handful of people calling, that once he connected with the website, it's like, well, there's unlimited eyes looking at this, and we don't look good. I believe it was in the same day that I got an email back from that staff assistant, and then eventually a phone call from the legislative director confirming that the senator did not place the secret hold.
So what did you think of the exercise in general? Was it worth it?
It was very satisfying to finally get someone's attention in the Senate office. It felt good to be a part of a larger community trying to get these answers from all the senators across the country. It kept the issue in the news. I think it was extremely rewarding. I have to say, though, that I believe a lot of people would be discouraged not getting an answer on the first phone call or just getting the formatted response that really doesn't answer the question in an email. And only because I'm recently retired and have the time to make these calls throughout the day, I was able to stay on it.
Susan, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Susan Schibler is an OTM listener and secret hold hunter.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.